would have happened.
All right, two. I think it's,
or whatever time it was, yeah. Or two. Two would have gone to one. Fucking two. Best. Start.
Remember
have we?
Remember the days where, like, 10 years ago, we used to go out? I mean, we used to go
out. Get an extra night, extra hour of clubbing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Joe, this thing's not right. Are we on?
Those are the days.
Oh, are we?
What's not right about it?
I mean, it feels flimsy.
Joe's repping the Germany.
Do you like it?
Six kit.
Found in my nonno's.
I rate it highly.
I found you inspired last week with your German kit.
I was actually going to wear another one this week. I was going to wear a Columbia, like 1970.
I've seen that. I've seen you have
Valderrama on the back.
Both yellow. But how's this? I found this in my nonno's wardrobe. I
was there the other night.
Yeah.
Don't mind it.
I go, fuck, that's mad. It's my gym shirt at the moment, but it's also a podcast shirt. So there you go.
It's good.
Why do you have to throw a gym in there?
How good are World Cups? Actually, on festivities, how was yesterday?
Can we not get into business?
Not business. I'm talking about the festivities of it.
It was good. It was very good. Obviously, we flew in, flew out, but gather around. They get it right. Mm. They get it really right.
Why?
In AFL. Just the setup was like the way that they set the city up and the way that the fan fest is set up outside Adelaide Oval. It's just, it's not too much. And
I'm picturing
not, and there's
like,
not too little. It's like a fan zone at a
Euros.
But like,
yeah, remember
but
fan
not,
zone, Jules?
Obviously not the Euros.
No.
Right? So you don't expect that. But
it's another level, isn't
I'll
it?
I'll tell you, it's worth it. There's players everywhere. They've got players set up. Yeah. They do interviews on the main stage all day. Cooter and Ange did a signing, not 15 minutes late, and then stuck around. They signed it. No, they're at the fan fest. Yeah, like it's
was
just it's good.
Goal.
And where the Adelaide Oval station is near North Adelaide, and there's pubs near North Adelaide.
Yeah, right.
And there's pubs south of the river as well. So like
Adelaide do get it right with their pubs, to be fair. Like they've actually got a bit going on there.
No, it was good. It was actually really good. I think next year, I've already said to you boys, I think we're gonna do a bit more than just one day.
Lauren said to me, she goes, can we go like with the kid with you guys?
Yeah, I reckon
lock it in.
Yeah, next year we'll sort that out. But it was good.
I tell you what else is good.
Yeah, you know else was you know what else was good? Spending the day with my dad and your dad. Yeah.
How's that? That'd mean like a really
mate, you would have had so much fun.
Ball breakers, but they were funny. They were very
that would have been fun, yeah. I'll tell you what else is really good. Dyson vacuums, a nap, and your team undefeated.
I don't think I've ever heard you nap during the day.
In any particular
I think the first nap you've
in any
ever
particular
had.
Order?
Well
nap number one.
Before us being undefeated.
Nap number one. You got a nap.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I am a believer after today.
I've been trying to tell you for years.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, good. And the Dyson?
Yeah, that's lovely, but still good.
You like the light.
The light on and the three-speed Dyson. Big fan.
You know you're getting into your 30s when you get excited about naps? A Dyson.
Yeah, especially unexpected one, though.
All right. That's our moment. We finally, as a generation, we can hang our hat on a genuine moment.
Honestly, we are a force because of the intensity that we play at is just next level.
We want to be here. We want to impact finals. And it's one thing, obviously, saying it, but we just lived it.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 121 of the Almost Blues Brothers podcast. Part of the Blue Broad Media Network and proudly powered in 2024 by Image Online Studios here in Abbotsford. They do live calling, they do jingles, they obviously do podcasting. So if you are in need for any of that for your business, make sure you get in touch with Image Online.
Oh, little news on a sponsor. Boys.
Potential sponsor.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah. So, and it's not...
I haven't heard about this.
But Vortep want to re-engage.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's the first time.
Yep, saw Mr. Petrov today.
Okay, well, okay.
And he would like to come back on. You know why?
Why?
5K. Bang.
You know what, Dan? I'm glad you brought it up.
Yep.
Boys, I'm just going to say off the top, right? We've been doing this for 4 years. No. And I just want to say thank you to both of you. I do. That's all I want to say. Because it was a big achievement for all of you that don't know. And if you haven't, go follow us on Instagram at Almost Blues Brothers.
And Pov and I do a lot of work on the socials.
Yeah, yeah, so you do heaps.
We have to say.
I wasn't actually going to make this about me, but all right, if you want to go there, I've done so much work on Instagram over
You've done all of it. Yeah. Not so much. You've done all
but
of it.
It was a big achievement during the week. 5K followers. I never thought we'd get there. Thank you to both of you for sticking around for 4 years. Thank you to Terry and Blue Abroad for the platform as well. But 5K, boys, that's something to celebrate, I think. So, well, we've got you might as well.
You should have got a shot.
That's it. Oh, yeah.
You should have got a shot. Yeah. Could have ended up wild on you.
Yeah. I like sangria.
To us.
To shot. It's white sangria, not black. What's not sangria.
On, what on earth?
An idiot. What's it called?
Sangria.
Tequila.
No.
Chartreuse.
Sambuca.
Oh, Sambuca.
White Sambuca.
Sangria. White Sambuca. That's the good shit. If you shot. Anyway. Yeah, 5K. So, and we've got some congratulations in the live chat. So, thank you very much. And to anyone that has followed along the years, thank you too. Because
10K?
We wouldn't have.
We'll push for 10K.
I've thanked you guys. I've thanked Terry. But at the end of the day, we don't do this without listeners. I mean, we probably do because we love it, but it does help. And we don't do it without followers and growing. So it is nice. So thank you very much to everyone that's joined across the years.
Pretty cool.
No, only getting started, boys. Yes, 10K next, Jules.
10K next.
Well, so how long did it take us to get 5?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years. We'll say half that.
Half that.
2 years, we get 10.
Hey, if you haven't and you're watching, go follow us because we're growing rapidly now. I think we're almost at 5,100. Like that.
No didn't way. You say Sorry. Didn't you say that if we got to 5K, you're gonna take your pants off?
I said if we
few
did
more
it,
fake accounts.
I said if we did it in,
oh, in the episode.
The episode. Oh, so okay. Bad luck. You don't get that this week.
True Joe, a few more fake accounts and we'll get there.
We've got a few. Maz says congratulations, well deserved. Peter V, congratulations. Jay Mirabello, congratulations. Jason Badger, well done. Maz, white Sambuca tastes like Ouzo. Mm-hmm.
It does, a little bit. Yeah, I'll give him that.
John Holden. Congratulations, boys. Looking forward to the next 5,000. He's
been John Holden's seen the whole journey.
A long time.
You've seen the journey, mate.
I know a lot of you have been here from the start, so thank you very much. Now, boys, before we get into the footy, how's the weekend?
Jules, would you like to start?
No, you can go.
Well, we sort of had a weekend together, didn't we? Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday
We had a mate's 30th. They're probably watching. Actually, watch.
Nah. Yeah.
So, Simo, happy birthday. And Melissa... she watches closely for some feedback.
I heard she gave you some feedback.
She gave me some feedback. She wants my personality out there more. So, which I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad
Dan
thing.
Dan turns his character down from 20 to 10. He doesn't turn it up to 10. He turns it down.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Look at this. Oliver Lynch. He's also a long-time listener. $50 donation. Thank you very much, mate. That's
legend.
Thank you
That's very much appreciated. Congrats on the 5K, boys. Buy another slab of bitter. We will.
Yeah.
We absolutely will. And hopefully see you around at some stage, Ollie, as well, to have a beer. But, you got some feedback?
No. Yeah. I didn't.
What did Mel say? She basically just said that Joe's a little bit more animated.
She's saying you're more animated than me.
She says we're more boring.
But you do get a lot more screen time.
Well, You know, when you got, you know. When you got when your star's on the rise as quickly as what mine is.
Here we go.
I'm joking, obviously. Jules, how's the 30th?
Literally the same night.
They put on a spit.
Spit was unreal.
Yeah. Meat was the spit was unreal. Around
food was good. Do you know what else is good? The pastries.
Oh.
The pastries were a joke.
So they had these
massive pastries? Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable pastries.
Yeah.
Joe, they had these chocolate baklava. When I mean fucked.
Oh, I believe it.
They went off. They went off.
Hey, Maso food, I'll tell you what. It goes.
Hits a spot.
It goes hard.
It's hardy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Hard. Our food's hardy.
Our food's number one, but you can't. There's levels. You can go... There's levels to this. Yeah. There's levels. Yeah. You don't compare Italian food to anything else. You just don't.
That's why, you know, I think it's actually a fact that there's more Italian restaurants in the world than any other cuisine.
I think there might be. I don't know.
Is that a genuine statistic?
If you're watching, you want to look that one up.
Genuine statistic. Stat. My stat.
You asked me. You already asked me. It's fair.
We are.
You asked me how it was.
So, boys.
It was good. No, Adelaide was good. The fly-in, fly-out killed me, though. We're up at 3 a.m. yesterday. Didn't get back till about midnight, with my dad and your dad.
It's an easy day.
It was an
easy day.
Yeah, it was a long day. It was a long day, but it was good. You know, hey, it makes it better.
Do you have a story or not?
It makes it better when you come home
from a win.
With a win.
Yeah. Do you have a story or not?
Story?
Yeah. Something random that Rennie or my dad did?
No, not really. They were pretty tame, actually. They were,
you reckon?
Yeah, they were on their best behavior, which was good. Didn't have to baby them.
Sorry.
I had a few people that came up to me as well at FanFest, said hello. So Tony and Adrian, I think his son's name was, they said hi. So if you're watching, which they reckon they do every week.
There you go.
But yeah, it was good. Good to see a few people.
I know this is all good and well, but boys, the fluff's got to stop now.
Yeah, all right.
Let's go.
Without any further ado.
Let's get into it, boys.
Dan S in the chat says, in all caps, POV, fire up, don't hold back, especially when getting stuck into George. That's Simo, is it not?
Yeah. Especially mentioning George.
And happy birthday, Simo, as well, for the weekend. Boys, yeah, what do you want to start? Oh, I'm happy to start anyway, to be honest. It was unbelievable. It was fucking unbelievable.
We just know how to win.
Yeah.
We just get it done. Yeah. We're that team.
I mean, it's a... The game itself for a neutral, hard to watch.
Shit game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Fremantle.
Freo's style makes it shit.
They stifle it, don't they?
I'll tell you, if you want to start there, I'm more than happy to start there because what I saw from bird's eye view at the ground was disgusting.
Where were we sitting?
Yeah. We were sitting on the 50 arc, but like top level.
Yeah.
Good probably, seats. It's very good seats. The Adelaide Oval's fantastic to watch footy at. Fantastic. But the way that I saw Freo set up on the footy was disgusting.
Yeah. They don't really play to win, do they?
It's negative.
They play not to lose.
Negative football. It's like watching soccer and you'd see a team that is just playing for a 0-0 draw.
Park the bus.
0-0 draw.
Park the bus.
Yeah.
To an extent, it
was the most frustrating game of football that I've seen in a long, long time.
Well, did you boys feel that even though they had a lot of possession, especially like first quarter, second quarter, you didn't really feel that they were really going to hurt us? Like we were structured all right behind the ball that it didn't feel like they were going to hurt us too bad.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. I never thought they were actually going to put a score on the board to literally put us away or, you know, get arms reach away from us. I thought we were always going to be close. So I never thought they were going to kick away. But what I did thought that was going to happen, I thought we were going to start be a little bit more dominant and put on for a five. Especially in the third quarter, Charlie started to get a little bit of a run on. I thought, obviously, with a bit of momentum in that third quarter, I thought we were actually going to get a bit of a run, but it obviously didn't eventuate, did it?
Never happened.
No. We said last week that the clearance in the stoppage game was where it needed to be won. And for the way in which Freo played, they actually didn't allow us to play or to score off turnover.
No.
So they didn't.
So no,
with the way they played.
What I saw at the ground, I don't know if you saw it on TV, was as soon as it was in Freo's front half, and if it wasn't off a turnover where we could go quickly, so let's say it was off an intercept mark deep or whatever it was, they had 8 or 9 players clogging the corridor, that outlet through the corridor, and it was one-on-one everywhere else around the ground.
Yeah, because it was chip mark, they could set up. Like that.
That's what I'm saying. If we couldn't go quick, they had time to set up and it was just negative. All they wanted to do was clog space so that we couldn't get through. And that was obvious in the first half. The scores were what? 26-23 at halftime, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'll read the match report just quickly before we go. But final scores, Freo, 9-9-63, Carlton 10-13-73, 10-point winners. Carlton, goal scorers, Owies, Cripps, Chera, 1 each. Kennedy, Cottrell, 2 each. And Charlie, somehow, kicked 3 by the end of the day. Crazy. But yeah, it was very negative. It was a very negative style of game from Freo, and it kept us quiet for a lot of the game. It really did.
We sort of started to play a little bit of a kick mark game, obviously, because we didn't want to get the ball turned over so that they could actually punish us. And I mean, you can see it in the stats. Mm. Weeders had what, 21, Saad had 25, Kemp had, I think, 20 plus as well. Yeah. So, and there was another few other players that actually were very close. They were obviously in our defensive half, like the likes of Williams, Newman, that were close to 20 touches.
All my
votes
are defenders this week.
Yeah, correct.
Because they're the only ones that were able to use the ball.
Correct. You know, and obviously it was that more chip mark, but it was sort of to try to nullify Fremantle's, you know, in terms of trying to get the ball forward and actually put a score on the board as well. So, the only time where we sort of went for it was in the last 5-10 minutes.
Well, it started to open up.
Well, they got tired.
Naturally, it did. Yeah. Third and fourth quarter fatigue really opened up. Yeah, and you could see that start to creep in with the way in which the game was starting to turn. It was funny because I, like, watching that game, normally I don't take notes, but I actually took a lot of notes each quarter because it was a game where there's a lot to talk about.
There was.
There actually is a lot.
Yep.
And I think the biggest one was the fact of our clearance work. You want to go, Jules?
Yeah, well, we got smashed 17. We're minus 17 in clearance. By the end of the game.
But even to a quarter to quarter. So you look at first quarter, it was 8-1.
Mm.
Yeah.
8-1 clearances.
Yeah, it was.
First quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Freo pride themselves on a clearance game, though. Like, they've been pretty clearance dominant all season. And we haven't. So it was expected that we'd probably lose the clearance count. But I didn't expect it to be that bad, if I'm being honest.
No.
I expected us to get our hands on the footy a little bit more at the source. We didn't. And it did make it very, very
that
hard.
That would have ruffled them if we was able to be dominant in there.
Of course. Guaranteed. Because you can't move the ball around the ground.
Correct.
So if you can get first use, at least you stop them from sitting up behind the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think I'm surprised that that's the numbers. That's the data that obviously the game actually has given us, or the information that the game has given us, and the fact that we actually won us the game.
Definitely.
Obviously, you know, there's many factors that probably did win us the game. One of them being the aerially with our key position players.
Oh, yeah, they're massive.
Kemp and Weeding had 26
marks between them.
Yeah, that's right.
But so, I mean, we had 16 contested marks to their 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's massive. I think that's at the end of the day. And I was reading an article, I think it was just this morning, where they were sort of discussing in and around that the aerial brilliance of all those players. I think even Charlie had quite a few contested marks. I think he had 5 for the game.
It was a lot higher up the ground where he took him, to be fair. He was trying to push out of
his but the outlet because to try help us move the ball.
Yeah, but also Freo did get to a point where they couldn't move the ball any further.
Yeah.
So they would move the ball to, say, halfway, just past half, and then they had no option after that where they had to go long. And that ate into Weeders and Kemp's hands, isn't it?
Are you surprised that when we did have the ball, for example, we did kick a point, that Fremantle's ability just to work the ball up to the wing with relatively, you know, very easily.
It did look easy at times.
It did. Did it not? Like, are you surprised that we sort of allowed that to eventuate?
I think we're still definitely, like, our pressure and our intent was still there. So it's not like we dropped off in that regard. I just feel as though they are very, very good at moving it in those areas.
I'll say one thing about Fremantle. They are clean.
That's what I mean.
Their first touch of the footy is as clean as I've seen from a side this year. Like, they didn't fumble once.
And they're quite explosive.
Whether it was around the ground or at stoppage, that was clean pickups everywhere. So it obviously helps when you can do that, because we fumbled.
Because I'm also talking about, like, a kick mark perspective.
But they'll move, like, their movement and the way they move off the ball. It was very impressive. They just don't have that next kick.
Yeah, they are
that target. Like, Weeders, like Tabana, offered nothing. Amos, you know what I mean?
Much. There may be two players in their front half from being a very, very dangerous football team.
Agree.
Yeah, very dangerous. They just don't have the firepower. If they had firepower in the front half, they could cut teams up.
Because I watched them.
But to answer your question, was I surprised how easy they did it? Yes and no, because I'm expecting that teams are going to move the ball a lot easier against us this year with the way that we're transitioning. So if we're on transition, right, we're at 6s and 7s if we turn the ball over on our half.
I'm talking
line,
from
right?
kickings though. It's not really transition.
No, from kickings. Yeah, that's fair. That's a good call. That's a good
from
call.
Transition. That's not a transition. Yeah, that's from
no.
Kickings.
You're talking from kickings then.
From kicking.
That's a good call.
Yeah. So from kickings, yeah, probably. Like, they didn't move it pretty easy.
I'm talking 2-3 kicks. They were up around almost their forward.
They did have a lot of numbers though. Like, they had a lot of numbers congested in one area. Do you know what I mean?
They
did.
Yeah.
You could see.
Yeah.
They had a lot of numbers. If you see, there was always 2 or 3 men spare.
Yeah.
But then there was that, like I said to you,
never hesitated with their ball use.
No.
They actually didn't hesitate once in their decision-making coming out of the back half.
Yeah. They're obviously very clean compared to us.
But do you think at a point we were content for them to have it there?
Yeah.
I think so. I just didn't think it was going to hurt us.
Because I think we knew that we had them covered down back.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think we're relatively set up defensively, especially with our back 6, back 7, to contain them.
Yep. Agree.
Yeah.
My issue is, I think with ball in hand and even our like chain handballs at times, weren't clean enough.
Yeah, yesterday.
To be able to just break lines and go.
Yeah.
Especially our chain handballs.
Yeah.
Where over the past couple of weeks we've been blistering.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're pressure rating. I think at one stage of the game that actually come up on the TV where we're like 180-181, which is
standard for us this year.
I mean
it's above average. What's average? 170?
No, I think the average is 180.
Or 180?
Yeah, so okay. We'll probably go to the average, which is fine. Yeah.
I think they were 200 plus.
Yeah. Oh, hey, they were frantic.
They brought it as well.
Yeah.
I just don't think they brought it for long enough for me.
Speaking of pressure.
All right, so said at the start of the season, the team's actually been saying it for over a year now, boys, where we just want to be known off the back of our pressure. And boy, have we brought it for the last four games. So I just want to we'll go off averages, all right, because I think that's probably, you know, a good sample size to do it off. So we'll go off tackles overall. So our average tackling, all right, for games is 71.
Number one in the comp.
We're number one in the comp.
Yep.
Average AFL, 56. That's the average.
Yep.
Crazy.
Nuts.
Now, you think that is nuts?
This next one.
This next one is an absolute joke. It is. Joke. I'm actually ridiculous.
Go.
Our tackles, average tackles inside 50 is 18. Average for the comp is 10. But you know what the next best team is?
Go.
12.7 Hawthorn.
What?
We're almost plus six tackles inside 50 per game.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
That's why we say players like your Fog, they are crucial. They are crucial.
That there is the backbone of this team.
This is the reason why.
We're a blue collar, get your hands dirty team, and you've got to come to our level each week. And if you can't match our pressure,
you lose.
If it's tight, like we've seen three times this year, in the last 10 minutes of that game, we'll put the clamps on you.
And another stat, just to have a look at it, in terms of time in possession as well. Overall, roughly, I had a quick look in games and even this game as well. Roughly, it's about 31-33% time in possession per quarter or average in a game, okay, per team. In the last 10 minutes, Freo were 9%. Possession, time in possession, will 36%.
Far out.
So just in terms of obviously going off the back before, we wanted to win the game. They were trying not to lose it.
Yeah, correct.
That's, you know what, bang on. Yeah. You nailed that. You've actually nailed that this week.
Yeah.
He pushes the mic away.
He's
done his job. Hey,
those stats. We laid
80 tackles yesterday, 80 yesterday, and 24 tackles inside 50. Is that right? That's correct. Ridiculous.
That's a joke.
That's ridiculous. You can't. Unless a team is prepared to get their hands as dirty as what we are in the clinches, we'll win every week.
Look at the character of this side now, though. It's just, and even obviously before the game, knowing that we hadn't won at Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
Like another hurdle.
That's another mental.
It's belief.
Another hurdle.
To be honest, I think that's the last
apart from winning a flag
hurdle that we've had to get through, because we beat Brisbane in Brisbane, beat Collingwood last year. Like, we did all of that last year. The last one was Adelaide Oval. Broke the curse.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I've actually called this episode Lifting the Curse.
Well, there you go.
It's interesting as well. I was listening to Jack Silvani on 3AW, and he actually said, you know, obviously a lot of teams in the last 4 or 5 years have been training these types of scenarios. Last 5 minutes, you know, you're down by a couple of kicks or you're down by 30 points. How are you going to structure up? And obviously living through that in training and obviously being able to produce that, what they've trained in game for the last, maybe 6, 7, 8 months, whatever it's been since the Essendon game, they just got that belief now that no matter what time is on the clock, they have the belief that they're going to be able to produce a win.
I'll tell you something.
No, it's true.
People saying, oh, Carlton got lucky. You know what? They can get fucked because, well, I'll be honest with you, you create your own luck.
Correct.
You create your own luck, and that's what we're seeing.
Correct. 80 tackles, 24 inside forward 50, create your own luck.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So at the end of the game, we kept ourselves in it for long enough to be able to take it in the end.
Probably a good time to show this.
Did Freo get robbed? Deflection of ace, paid a mark. Oh. kids and go on to win.
Oh, boo-hoo. Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
And now, I'll tell you something, yeah? We spoke about this pre-show, me and you. We've been on the other end of that many, many times, yeah? I can name countless times that there's been either controversy or things that just didn't go our way.
Name some. Right?
Sam Walsh, high tackle against Collingwood 2022, didn't get paid in the last second, would have had a shot on goal.
Next.
Number one. There was another one that year, actually. That
it's got a good memory.
Oh, Richmond. Jack Nunes, Richmond. Yeah, Jack touched ball.
Yep, next.
Would have won that game for sure because we were coming hard at that point, yeah?
Yeah.
There's so many things that you could list. Of course, you can get hung up on it and go, oh, well, that would have changed our season. Both of those decisions would have had us playing finals in 2022. I don't give a fuck anymore. I've moved on. Swings and roundabouts in footy, man. At the end of the day, right now, we're a team that's got a lot of luck on our side. It's been like that for a little while. You take it while you've got it.
100%.
You take it while you've got it. That's right. And for anyone that wants to get upset over it, if you're an opposition supporter, fuck you. I don't care. I really don't.
I knew you were going to do that.
I love how it's just blatantly corrected.
I don't care. I really don't. Go on.
You stumped me with that.
Go on.
I didn't expect it.
Yeah, I'm stumped. Can I say something here? So obviously that gets paid every week. There would be so many instances in a game where that happens. What I want to talk about, because I don't want to get hung up on.
But on TV, I didn't see it.
Yeah, no one. The umpires obviously didn't see it. No one saw it. We didn't see it at the ground.
No.
No one knew what was going on, right? None of us saw it. What I want to talk about, and this isn't Carlton related, this is more so footy related, because I didn't actually like this part of it. 40 seconds to go. Descent.
Yeah.
Now, if the shoe's on the other foot, right, and that's paid against us, would be fucking ropeable.
Yeah.
Right? We would. Now, I get it. By the letter of the law, if Jordan Clark said something and the umpire's been offended or he thinks it's demonstrative or whatever it is, by the letter of the law, it's a free kick, right? So the umpire did the right thing. However, have some sense of occasion.
Yeah, correct.
Have some awareness and just say, boys, I will pay a descent.
Are you saying this from a non-biased opinion?
Yes, if this gets worse. And that umpire, all he needed to do was walk away. Drop the ego, walk away.
Do you know if the umpire said that or not?
It looked like it was paid straight away as soon as Clark said
it. No, it was. Yeah. Instant.
So walk away, right? That descent rule for me was brought in so that at lower leagues, we didn't have kids abusing umpires. And so they didn't see it on TV. It wasn't seen. There was nothing overly demonstrative about it. It was between the player and the umpire. You couldn't even hear it on a mic.
Oh, you're saying because it was essentially like behind closed doors.
Just leave it be at that point in the game. Because if you do that in a grand final, and I tell you, if that was to decide a grand final, the whole football community would lose their shit.
Oh, it'd be a disaster.
They'd lose it.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing.
The winning team wouldn't lose their shit.
No, but that's the only thing I'll say about that. Yeah. I'll take it. Because by the letter of the law, it works.
I mean, last
it is what it is.
Yeah, of course it is what it is. But like last night, we were discussing with a few mates at Simo's birthday, and we're discussing just in terms of how grey the AFL or footy is in general in terms of, you know, it's up to interpretation. So, I mean, I think a lot of things need to be more black and white to make it easier for the umpires.
We're going to get decisions and we're going to get decisions against us. And that's just reality with AFL.
Correct.
Is that, Jules, like you mentioned,
by the letter of the law, that is black and white. That's a decision.
Correct.
That's the call.
Correct. But if you're going to be, for example, like you said, it's down to the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, I get what he's saying.
Goal, then that's not black and white. That's up to interpretation. That's even more up to interpretation. Yeah. So
he's doing it right.
But where do you draw the line?
Yeah, if it's in the letter of the law, like if it's by the letter of the law,
yeah,
that's right,
no issue.
Correct.
There's no issue with it. There really isn't. Yeah. It's just. I would hate for that to be the case in a final.
Of course.
Yeah, but if it's within that, like the decision to be made, then it has to be made.
Yeah. Well,
now, does it not? You're not going to let it go.
Yeah.
No,
you
can't.
That's just a broader discussion. I think. I think
that scenario also.
It didn't look good.
I think that scenario just.
What
worked.
Was your reaction in the stands?
Fucking losing.
Of course,
losing my mind.
I think it looks worse now because of the previous decision, because of the touch.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely, for sure. It compounds.
Correct.
Yeah, it compounds. Sammy D had a comment here in the chat. When we're talking about how they haven't gone our way in the past. Andrew Walker, semi-final against West Coast in the goal square. Remember that one? Didn't get called for a hole.
Yeah.
Would have been a shot from 5 metres out.
Directly. Good one.
If you've got more, put them in the chat. I like that. Anyway, obviously that's the end of the game. That's all she wrote for Freo, unfortunately. But you know what, boys? We just know how to win games of football.
How calm was Voss in the presser?
Mm.
Calm.
Yeah.
He was
very,
so calm.
Yeah, very.
Very calm.
It's a bigger picture. Yeah. They've got their eyes on one thing.
It's good signs.
Yeah. Do you remember when we used to do this podcast like two, three years ago? We'd have a win like that and we'd be like fucking and like we won a flag. Yeah. Now we're calm. We came in here, wasn't even like, oh yeah, just another win.
Because
I mean you feel like
the last 17, no,
you feel like it's business as usual. Because of the message from Vossi and the club, you feel like it's business as usual.
Yeah. And the thing is, like you're saying 15 of the last 17.
It is.
What? One of them was prelim
up in Brisbane,
where we're up by 5-6 goals at quarter time. Okay. And then the other one was GUS, which was a nothing game anyway.
Put the cue in the racket for us. Time. Yeah.
Once Charlie kicked his goal to win the Coleman, see you later. Good night.
So basically, you could almost argue we're 15 undefeated. And 16. I'd say
you could almost say we're undefeated.
If you take that GWS game out. It's unbelievable.
We're undefeated.
Mm. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
We're the most informed in the comp.
Right now.
Like if you take that from end of last season.
Yeah, we are.
We're the most informed in the
comp. I don't remember what it feels like to lose.
20 games.
I actually don't.
Yeah.
You know, when I was getting to that last like minute and a half, I started to come to the realization like, all right, like we're probably going to drop this one. We can't win them all, surely. And I started to go, oh, well, like it's been a while since I had a loss. And I started to set in. Nah.
They generally just don't want to lose.
It's a new IQ.
Yeah.
New IQ.
Actually, you know what? It's not that they don't want to lose. They just want to win.
They do.
Yeah, they're desperate.
They're hungry, man.
They're hungry.
They are. You can see how hungry they are.
Individual players.
Go for it. Where do you want to start?
A few. So
it's actually difficult this week. Like, I know we're going to get into
let's
our
not,
votes.
Let's not say anyone in your votes. Just pick players from outside.
Well, the why don't you start with someone who you messaged to me, Ollie Hollands?
Oh, okay. So we want to go negative.
Yeah, go negative. Well, just go across the board.
Whatever. Yeah. Listen, I don't. I'm going to preface this by saying I don't have an agenda against Ollie. I don't have an agenda against any player. Right. This is where I'm at. I want to see this team win a flag, okay? If you're going to have that mentality, no player can be protected as part of this group. Of the 45 on the list, you cannot protect any player. I don't care where they sit. I've said for 2-3 weeks now that Ollie Hollands, especially with ball in hand, might need some time to go hone his craft, right? That's all, which I think is fair for a 19-year-old, right? That's just coming to the system a year ago. What I saw yesterday was the same thing, but exemplified against a side that had us under a stranglehold.
Well, I go game.
Jeremy
by game.
Sharp had his best game for the year on that wing. Honestly, ran rings around Ollie Hollands yesterday. I get it. The effort's there. He runs 15 Ks a game. No problem. But there are just elements of his game for me that need some work.
Yeah, but...
And you're not going to find that at AFL level.
No,
you need to go and hone your craft.
When you said in previous weeks, you got to look at... Like, I look game by game. So based off the game against Freo, based on what he produced, I think he was the lowest ranked player. Was he not, Joe?
That was low.
Was it Jules?
Yeah.
Well, I know he's in the bottom two or three, Jules. There wouldn't be too many blind. It wouldn't have been too many blind.
Anyway, irrespective of that, based off the Freo game, yes, I think in previous weeks he didn't do enough to merit getting dropped.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And what are you going based on?
AFL.
What, like Dream Team?
No, not Dream Team, Supercoach, because Dream Team's bullshit.
I'm not doing Dream Team.
It's the AF.
You go by
the AF rankings.
I'm doing AF ranking.
No, that's the Dream Team rankings because they actually don't account for efficiency and whatnot. You go based on the Supercoach rankings, whatever the champion data rankings are.
It would have been third or fourth.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, Dan, continue.
No, what I was saying was in previous weeks, he didn't do enough. I understand what you were saying about his ball use, but he didn't do enough to get dropped.
No.
Whereas this week, he did.
I can agree with that.
Yes. Yep. And that's where the argument comes.
I actually don't think he's going to get dropped this week. I think he keeps his spot because we've got injuries and we've got suspensions. Yeah. So Fogg's out
for a week.
I'm just concerned. I just have concern over it because I don't want to see players hold their spot just through effort.
But I don't think you will. I think it's based on performance. So if you looked at his performance for the Freo game, don't worry about previous weeks. Just go game by game.
I don't think it's based off. I think with a player like Ollie Hollands, I don't think if he's going to play. I don't know how to word this. So I don't think he gets. I don't think he is the player where, for example, yesterday's game or the last four games where you look at his performance on a piece of paper or you watch him visually when with the ball in hand and you drop him because of, you know, his inability to hit up targets. Okay. for me, structurally, the way we play, I think you wouldn't have a lot of players do what he does. That's why he won't get dropped. Do you understand my point?
I get your point.
The way he plays.
I know. I understand.
I just don't think we would drop him.
I get it.
I think if you're going, like you said, for example, last week, obviously a bit off topic, Walsh. I don't think he comes on the wing. I obviously already mentioned it. We've done the poll, etc. The only other player.
You didn't want me to bring up the poll.
I put it up.
Go. No, I put the poll up on Twitter.
Yeah, no, but you can do whatever you want.
Go.
If you're going to bring another player in, you can't bring a Walsh. You can't bring in a Sin Cotter. You can't bring in, I don't know.
Can Cotters play that role on the wing? He can run all day.
Yeah, he can. But then you've only got Akers and Cotters. There's no one else that the other player is going to roll on the wing like an Ollie Hollins does. A Cotters is a very similar player in terms of his endurance ability.
So correct. What happens if he keeps having poor
games? But you also need the endurance ability on the half forward flank as well. So that's what I'm saying. Structurally, the only other player that I'm aware of that's in the VFL that's like for like, that does rack it up in the VFL, and he won the VFL Best and Fairest last year, is Jackson Binns. So he's the only other player.
I'll ask you this then.
But I don't know how he's been performing in the VFL.
I'll ask you this then, because you brought this up earlier in the episode. They moved the ball very freely on the outside yesterday, and I saw multiple occasions where Jeremy Sharp had the ball on a string on that wing. So you asked this before, were you surprised at how easily they moved the ball on the outside? Jules?
He's tuned out.
No, I'm looking at stats.
Yeah.
So
my point is that wing.
He had 30 touches.
Hey, I'm talking.
Of 30 touches, how many score involvements do you think a player should have?
Jules,
off a wing.
Jules, I'm asking you a question.
I'm not going to answer.
No. Let me finish. Jeremy Sharp yesterday exposed that wing. He had 30 touches. I don't care about the score involvements because they can't score. It's not about that. If that was a different... No, because if that's a different team that's more potent in attack, he would have 10 score involvements coming down that wing. I'm telling you, my question to you is, are you comfortable with how exposed that wing was yesterday against a better side that can score more than what Freo does?
He had 3 score involvements out of 30 touches.
Listen to the question. What question?
That is the answer.
No.
That is the answer. You asked me.
So you're comfortable with the winger racking
honestly,
up 30
I just said.
Week. Okay.
Three score involvements.
That's fine. For me, I'm not, because I'm telling you, against a team that's got more potent attack, that can move the ball a lot quicker and a lot more direct inside 50 than
three
what Freo
score involvements.
Did, than what Freo did, put Jeremy Sharp in a different side yesterday.
Three score involvements.
Jules, listen to the question. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about Jeremy Sharp at Freo. I'm talking about Jeremy Sharp at Brisbane or at Collingwood. For me,
what winger has battered him?
He got battered yesterday.
But what winger in the last 4 games has battered him?
Previous to this game.
That's what I'm saying.
This game yesterday, he only had
3 scoring involvements for the winger at 30 touches.
The winger was exposed yesterday.
Of course, if you keep performing poorly,
you have to be dropped.
It's not just the performance. You can't just say you're talking about his ability, okay, to hit up targets. I get that. But he's not playing because of that.
Oh, no, but he's trying to negate the other winger. The other winger got 30 disposals.
3 score involvements.
Oh, Jules, you're not listening to the question.
That is the question.
Dan, your
That
thoughts.
Is the answer.
Listen,
Dan. That is the answer.
To end this argument, at the end of the day, you can't be dropped for one game playing poorly.
You won't get dropped.
You can't.
No.
You won't. But if you're playing poorly consistently, you can't just go, because he holds our structure well, he'll never be dropped. For Jackson Binns.
Yeah, no, you can't.
So the only way Ollie Hollins can be dropped, you're saying, is for Jackson Binns to come in.
Because I think overall...
That is unheard of.
I think
he's the most
I think coaching staff, if they're going to bring in a player for structure, the way we play, they're going to bring in like for like as best as possible.
Walsh. And I'm not going back there, but Walsh can run all
it's
day.
It's gone back there. We can't go back there.
That's what's going to happen. If that's the case, that's the case. But what I'm trying to say is that's what they're going to do.
I agree with you. We're going to have to keep structure. I agree with that. I don't care if it's Binns that comes in. My point is he didn't play well yesterday, and he didn't play well 2 weeks prior. So he can't, if this continues in 4 or 5 weeks' time when we're coming up against a Collingwood or a Melbourne that can score, it's going to have to
be It has to be based on form.
But I could pick, I reckon, another... 4 players that I could pick at and say exactly the same
thing. I'll tell you where I agree with Jules, because I was fuming yesterday because I didn't actually think Chez had a good game.
No, he didn't. All right? And I think...
I don't think he's played well all year. No, correct.
Up to where he should be.
But listen, I've said that to you. And I said to you last night, I go, what about Chez on a wing? But I thought about it, and for Jules's reason, he can't do what we want our wingers to do out there. That's why. That's why. Because I thought, oh, well, Chez played on a wing in Fremantle.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get into the midfield.
Back or,
That's right. But then I looked at him for Jules's point. I went, all right, but he doesn't fit in our structure and for what we want him to do. However, if you're playing shit, you're not protected because of structure.
You can't be.
You can't be.
You can't be.
You can't. There's no way. Week on week, if you play shit for 6 weeks, you hold your spot.
But if what I'm trying to say, if structurally the coaching, if he's doing,
there has to be another solution.
If he's doing what the coaching staff are asking him to do structurally, they won't drop him.
Well, we don't know. We can't answer.
We don't know that.
But
we don't
know. Can't answer.
We don't know.
So you could be right.
We can only go. We can only go based off what we see. And
no one can answer that question
at the moment. I've got mine at the moment. At the end of the day, we're going to see in about 6 to 8 weeks' time because he's either going to improve his ball use and improve the amount of actually like possessions that he gets per game. And he keeps his spot, or he doesn't, and he keeps his spot, or he doesn't, and he gets dropped. Simple. I just don't see why. I'm trying not to be negative about it. I'm just calling a spade a spade. He's a second year player. Second year players get dropped to the VFL all the time to find form. Like, he's brilliant. Long term, he's going to be a 300 game player for us. There's no doubt in my mind. Right now, doesn't need to be looked at. That's the question. And everyone's got even in the live chat, there's opinions both ways. So. At the end of the day, we'll see what the coaching staff do in about 6 to 8 weeks' time. Who else from yesterday? Let's go more positive, please.
TDK.
All right.
Jules got another argument.
I don't know if this is going to be negative, not positive or negative. Go.
No, you know what? Yeah, how's this? I'll start this because I don't actually think, because I know where you're going to go with it, because Jules is going to say to me.
Don't say you're going to know. Go where you're going to go and then.
No, because he's going to talk about our argument.
Yes. We had another argument.
No, we did. Well, we had an argument, but I don't think. But I went home and I said to myself, I don't actually think you're understanding my argument. So I'm not even joking. I think because we spoke last night,
correct,
and you agreed with me for a portion of it, and I said I actually don't think Jules gets what I'm trying to argue.
It's a therapy session now. Okay.
So I want you to talk first, and I'm going to say this. When you talk at the end, I'm going to go yeah or wrong. Watch this.
don't.
So
I'm going to have to walk out.
So you're saying that in the first quarter,
mm-hmm.
specifically first quarter,
yep,
Jackson had a better game than TDK.
Yes.
I agree.
First half he did.
Yes.
First
half.
Okay, first half.
First half.
And I agree.
Yes.
Okay. But okay. This is where the difference is.
Because I'll tell you what my
argument is. Can I stop this for a second?
Why?
Collingwood were up by 40 points. They're now up by 4.
Oh, no
against
way.
The Hawks.
It's good.
Go. So, this is good. This is a good discussion.
This is the difference for me.
Go.
Okay. You're saying TDK didn't win a lot many hitouts, especially to advantage in the first half.
Yes.
I'm saying he actually did.
All right, I've got my argument. Okay. I've got my points where he didn't.
Okay. Now, I went back and actually watched that half. Do you know how many hitouts to advantage he had in the first quarter?
Yep.
Three.
I've got it here.
Three.
Out of six.
But three to advantage.
Yeah, that's right.
So, out of six.
To advantage.
Yeah.
He had 10 to advantage in the whole game.
Yeah.
Three inside the first quarter. Do you know how many Jackson had for the whole game, not inside the first quarter? 4.
Yeah, I know. But do you know how many Josh Tracy had? Go and look at Josh Tracy.
I'm comparing
because I looked at Josh Tracy, so I'm gonna bury
you.
I looked at Josh Tracy.
But listen.
Calma.
We're talking about Jackson versus TDK.
I'm talking about
yes or no.
I'm talking about no wrong because
yes,
my argument was
talking about TDK overall.
No, it's wrong. That's not what I was saying at all. I was just saying my argument was that I thought that the addition of Pitto, okay. All I said was the addition of Pitto, not instead of TDK,
with TDK.
Yep. We're not talking about Pitto. We didn't talk about
Pitto. No, I know, but I'll tell you why. Because I said that we weren't able to maximize or get on top of our clearance work because of the tap ruck work of TDK early on. Later, I made a mark because midway through the second, he actually started to get on top and hit out more to advantage. He hit Chera down the chest, and not all the time it's going to hit him where they need to, all right? But I looked at the first three hit outs to TDK, first one to Fife, second one to Brayshaw, third one, I think it was just somewhere else, don't know. Next one was in the goal square about 10 minutes into the first, and he hit it up in the air. Jackson grabbed it. Next one was a boundary. I've gone nuts to win this argument. Next one was on the boundary. He had Josh Tracy in the ruck, and he hit it down Fife's chest again.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know why we didn't win? Do you know why we didn't win the clearances in that first, second quarter? Because our players were fumbling left, right, and center.
Jules, I get that.
I'm about to call this. So either find a middle ground.
Wait. Would Pitto have offered more from a tap perspective?
Well, yes. I'll say yes.
100%. But we didn't.
That was my argument. Okay. That was
you, last night. You did not mention Pitto once.
So I didn't mention Pitto once.
I'll show you.
Can I just say, statement. I couldn't care about your discussion last night, to be honest.
We're too stubborn. I'm going to win this argument.
No, you could.
Didn't mention Pitto last night once.
I mentioned it in the comment, bloke. Look.
Hey, we're running a podcast here, yeah? Not a therapy session. Right.
No, we're going to argue.
They like this.
We're losing people.
Oh.
No, listen. TDK had a brilliant game. Right,
I gave him a vote.
Yeah, he actually did.
Yeah.
Wait. No, you've spoken for the last 10 minutes. Enough. TDK had a brilliant game. I thought he came into it. First half, he wasn't what we needed. I thought he came into it, and he was influential in the last quarter. If I'm being honest, he's probably one of the most influential on the ground in the second half. Now, I understand your point of view. Okay, TDK's had a brilliant year in the ruck alone. No problem. I agree that he might need some help. If we're going to start to win clearances. Stop.
It's dependent on the opposition. Agree. I'm saying we should have had Pitto in with TDK.
I think the discussion going to Pitto is off topic, though.
No, it started from that. It did not start from that first quarter.
It's not off topic at all. Listen, there's going to be different opinions and views on why we're not winning clearances at the moment. You said last week you think Walsh is going to fix it. I said I think Pitto can help. I think overall here, what we're seeing, okay, if we want to get our clearance game back, which I don't think we have to be honest. I think we can win games.
No, you're right.
But if we want that to happen, I don't think it can squarely fall on TDK's shoulders to do the ruck work.
Yeah.
And I think, I actually think that you even agree with that, Jules, if I'm being honest.
I don't think, so listen carefully, I think Pitto will be involved. I think he will be involved.
For a game against Brio, he should have. With the game against Brio, he should have been involved.
I think he would be involved. I think our midfielders, and it hasn't just been a game against Freo. I think Chera, Hewitt, even Cripps a little bit more, especially around the contest. Whoever else rolls through there need to be a lot better and a lot cleaner around the pill.
I agree. Especially around the contest.
They are very clean.
And they're very good AFL footballers. Yeah, but I'm sorry. Going off last year in terms of the last, 10, 11 games, we were so dominant in the contest. Now it's completely almost falling off a cliff. I think
Pitto was there.
I think it's purposeful.
Pitto was there.
Correct.
In those games.
Correct.
Yeah.
But also it was Walsh. Now, I think not playing Pitto is purposeful.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it helps us our transition.
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
But in a game
against Freo, when you don't have the run, You can't create the run.
Where
do you have to win the game?
I think, to be honest, our Oppo staff, whoever did the analysis, I don't think they thought it was going to be that negative in terms of the way that we could.
I think they were actually shocked by Freo's game style.
I'll ask the listeners. I haven't really watched many Fremantle games in the last, this last month.
Yeah.
But it'd actually be interesting to see if they, from their...
Against Adelaide.
I watched them against Adelaide.
Through their eyes.
It was the same.
Was it the same or worse for us?
No, it was the same.
Same.
Negative football. Yeah. Their scores at halftime were like 30 to 20 something as well.
How many touches? Remember how last week you had that stat?
Oh, ridiculous. This game was actually very even. Touches.
They still beat us though. They had 380 disposals or something.
I think they beat us by like 30, 40.
They beat us.
Yeah, but compared to like 50,
no, compared
50,
to 50, no, it wasn't no 50 of course, 60,
but yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, by the last quarter,
we're gonna move on from this because we obviously had a win, right? And there are discussion
only
points.
18.
All right, well, there you go. There's discussion points that we can obviously have around differences of opinion, which is what we've done for the last 15 minutes. That's fine. There's going to be things that we don't agree on. There's going to be things that no one agrees on. It's an opinion-based podcast.
At the end of the day,
we're winning games.
Be a bloke.
I'm going to move this on as the host of this podcast because it's time. It's just time, right? We're going to get into the votes. Did I get your votes right today?
I fell asleep, Blake.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with you because I'm going to make sure that I got this right. You had TDK for one, Cripps for two, Saad for three. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, so go.
So I went TDK.
Can you talk about Tom?
Yeah, you
because we've Cripps. we've got different votes. You talk about Tom, I'll get you to talk about Cripps.
Okay, and then what? You had Saad in your votes?
Did you have Saad? No, you can talk about Cripps and Wiedering. I'll talk about Kemp and Saad.
Okay,
yeah, that's so fine. Talk about Tom.
So I had TDK. Obviously, Jules and I. Well, yeah, no, from a positive light. No, because it is. That what Jules? I gave him a vote.
I don't get it. Says for a half, but gives him a vote.
Yeah, because well, listen to why. Listen to why.
Look, are you joking?
It's not just ruck work. Yeah, it's around the ground that he's talking about too. I get it. I understand why he got the vote.
But his presence in the fourth quarter, in particular, was a big reason as to why we got going. A big reason.
Huge.
And you could see it. It was evident. It was evident. He was plucking the ball. He was getting the ball inside 50. He was so dominant. And that is why it was so crucial. And all right, maybe he didn't do it for, like, he obviously didn't do it. And we want him to do it for four quarters. He didn't. But that's how influential this bloke is, that he did it for one. He stood out for one that much that he turned the game around. Our midfield started getting more of the ball. We started dominating, started getting the ball inside 50 more, and we played the game on our terms
we
a did, lot more.
And we actually started scoring.
Yeah. And it was on the back of TDK dominating our stoppage work and our centre clearance work.
I thought he held Jackson brilliantly in the second half. Jackson early was worrying me. What I saw around the ground, he looked like he
around
was
the ground. Yeah,
he looked like he was ready to sure. take like to break that game.
Yeah, open. Some of the marks that but he was I agree. Taking.
Second half, TDK stepped up. He arrived. Yeah, he had that game where you went, thank God, like that you pulled your finger out because it wasn't looking good early. That's what, like especially around the ground, just wasn't. So you had him for one. You had Cripps for two.
Cripps for two and Saad for three.
You had Cripps for one, Jules?
Yeah, I just
Wiedering for two, Saad for three. So talk about Cripps and Wieders.
I think Cripps was good, especially early on. When obviously around the midfield it wasn't going too well for us. I think Cripps obviously as the game went on sort of dropped off, but especially when the heat was on us early, I reckon he really stepped up. And then Wieders, obviously second game
he hit
back.
The scoreboard too, Cripps, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
He had a few chances. Did. It was good to see. It was good to see.
The celebration.
Were you worried about our scoreboard pressure?
How's the celebration?
At one stage? In a game like that?
No.
Just off, like,
not really.
Because it was so negative. It was 28-26 at halftime, whatever it was. It's like Freo played, like we said, to not lose that game.
Yeah.
Not really, to be honest.
And it came. Yeah. The scoreboard pressure came in the end anyway, once the game opened up a little bit.
And then Wieders, I just think his ability to hit up targets and his intercept ability as well obviously helped a lot, I reckon, in terms of setting us up for the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
The intercepting between him and Kemp yesterday was brilliant. I had Kemp for one, Wiedering for two, and Saad for three. So I just mentioned Kemp. I said during the game on Twitter, when Marchbank came out, obviously through concussion, Kemp came in. I actually sent a tweet out to say, I think Marchbank's going to earn his spot, especially if Kemp puts in a shift here. And I think Kemp put in a shift. But he had 14 marks, 21 disposals in the back half. There were some people that thought the week prior, Marchbank shouldn't have come straight in, that Kemp did enough for the first two games. I was in that camp where I actually thought Kemp did enough. There were some that thought that he had some moments that cost us in on the last line of defense, which he did. I just think he put together a body of work that was big enough to suggest that he can play next to Wieders in a more effective manner. We saw that yesterday. There's nothing to say. He's got a vote from me. His game yesterday was brilliant. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone has their little moments here and there, but overall, his entire game was brilliant. Ball use coming out of the back half, ability to win one-on-ones, last line of defense, intercepting, it was all there. So for me, he keeps his spot. And Marchbank has to now earn his spot back in this side. I don't think he comes straight back in after this concussion.
Do you think there's a reason why they went, in terms of performance aside, do you think there's a reason why they went to a Marchbank rather than to keep a Kemp in?
I think it was just the way that Marchbank finished the year last year.
Mm.
Like, once he's fit, you've got to get him back in. And I was happy to see Marchbank back. I just think he looked very rusty. And now coming off a concussion, I would just hope that we give him some time.
Do you think it's a size thing or not?
No, I don't think it's size. Kemp can hold his own. He can hold his own, especially next to Wiedering.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like Kemp's a bit more versatile. If I'm being honest, I feel like he's got a little bit more to him. It's what he's in his fourth year now, fifth year.
I think Kemp, his ability to hit targets,
he's
and
better
I
than
think,
Mark,
yeah,
yeah,
what,
yeah.
What we're going with, then yeah, I think obviously we discussed it pre-show. In terms of the number of players out of the back half that can hit up targets, Boyd, Saad, Williams, Wiedering, Newman, etc. I think Boyd's rated the seventh best kick in the comp. mind you.
Yeah. Brilliant, honestly.
So I just think with the added addition of Kemp, obviously it puts a bit more pressure, like, in terms of where you're going to go to.
Boyd's not in our vote, but can I just say, there were two or three moments yesterday.
Huge.
Where he found his way through traffic.
Massive.
And hit the corridor without even thinking about
He's sensational.
But even his one-on-one ability too.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very aggressive.
And then we all had, obviously, Adam Saad for three. And I think in a game where we struggled to break lines.
He was blistering.
He took the game on.
Yeah. He was unreal.
He took it on. His run was back. And I actually think that might have come from the coaching box, because that started to come sort of after the first, second quarter. And he started to find that run again. I wouldn't be surprised if that was deliberate from the coaching box.
Yeah, but the assurity of Weeder's back allows that as well.
Of course, but he was playing a much more lockdown role on Frederick early in the game.
Yeah.
He was more one-on-one.
So probably Frederick coming off.
Yeah. It allowed him to go. Him. And he had 25 touches, man. And, like, he was as effective as it gets coming out of that back half. That's the best of Adam Saad. That, we get that every week against an opposition that's probably more open than what Freo were. We will slice up teams.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of slicing and dicing, another player that had a critical play, critical, late in the game. For Zach Williams to have the game awareness and sense to go, I've got to go here, and if I get tackled holding the ball, it is what it is, but somehow found his way through traffic to get that ball inside 15 Charlie, that there is a game-winning play. Not from Charlie, who took it one-handed, who, by the way, again, was beaten all day, somehow kicked three. I don't know how, but...
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's not the one-handed mark from Charlie. It's Zach Williams going, fuck it, I've got to go here.
Yeah.
And went.
Yeah, deep, I mean, 50. Cripp's done a very good job in terms of actually getting the ball out of that kind of congestion.
Yeah, out of congestion too.
Well, that's why I had two,
Yeah, so there's obviously three key moments in that.
In that passage, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Cotter's butt. That's the second time he's done that for us.
Clutch.
I know.
Second. He's not a player that you think, you'd back him. But you know what? When I saw it was him, that took them up.
Confident.
Your dad turned to me. He goes, "You're going to kick it?" I go, "It's Cotter's.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to kick it.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss."
Yeah.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. We got through that eventually.
Livy?
Fuck me. Yeah. Let's get to Livy.
Hey, everybody. It's Livy with Livy's Last Words. And this is what I thought about the game. Well, that was a stressful game. You know, in the first quarter, I was kind of a bit angry because I knew we could have played better than that. You know, we weren't able to get it into our forward 50, but our defense was pretty good and our midfield did play good. But in the second quarter, we started to, like, get more into the game, and in that third quarter, you know, better. But in that fourth quarter, you know, we really had most of the territory. But I must say, in that whole game, we did have a lot of chances, which I think we should have took, but that's okay. In the last 2 minutes of the game, it was absolutely stressful. After Fremantle kicked those two goals, I was like, damn it, we're done. And then Charlie with that one-handed mark, just absolutely amazing. Pumped me up so good. I was just mind blown. And then, you know, we got a mark from Cottrell, you know, Cottrell kicking two goals in that game. You know, thank God that Cottrell kicked that goal. And then all of a sudden we got a free kick for Kennedy, and I was like, oh my God, we are so lucky. Like, we are so lucky. How? It's Colton. Colton gets two free kicks when we're losing by two goals. A goal, I mean. And then we get two free kicks in the last minute. Just absolutely amazing and the most luckiest game ever. But anyways, my favourite player of the game was probably Saad, because he was absolutely amazing. You know, so fast with the ball. You know, he really wanted to try hard. And also, big shout out to Always. You know, he always brings such a good energy to the game when he kicks a goal. It's just absolutely amazing. When Cripper kicked that goal, you know, I was so excited because he's a father now, and that celebration was absolutely amazing. And good game to Chera. He did play absolutely amazing. And De Koning, his last couple of games, it's just been absolutely amazing. I want to say Hopefully Fogarty's okay, because hopefully he doesn't get suspended or anything. You know, the Fremantle players did definitely rage at him. But, I mean, he didn't... I guess he was kind of looking at the ball, but also since his fist was out and he nearly hit Nat Fife's face, it was probably kind of bad. But anyways, we absolutely played amazing. We are probably the luckiest team ever. You know, we're winning at the Adelaide Oval, which is amazing. But anyways, that's what I thought about the game. Go the Blues!
Go the Blues, Libby. She was, I'm sure she would have been, like she said, very stressful game. But
when's school holidays in Tassie? Surely she's coming.
She's
coming down.
She's on Saturday. Sick. No, she's here.
Yeah, she's here. She's here for the next two games.
She's here for the next two. She'll be back. She'll be coming for GWS. Next week. No, week after. Next week. Yeah, next week.
Adelaide.
Okay. Yeah. She'll be there next week.
Well,
yeah.
She'll be at the ground. So if you're
come say hi.
Says, come say hi. Livy loves it when I think there was one person that came up to her last year. They go, oh, love your work.
She loves it.
Oh, wasn't it at Charlie's camp, academy, whatever it is? There was someone there that knew Livy. Anyway, whatever. She's going to be at, she'll be at the game. And we'll be at the game. And speaking of the game, time to preview. Boys, Adelaide, Saturday, April 13th, 4:35 p.m., Marvel Stadium. Yeah. 4:35 games. Adelaide, GWS, Geelong. Next 3 weeks. Marvel, MCG. Our boys aren't leaving the state for like another 6 weeks. Yeah, so good. We're at the footy every week. Cool. Which is
hopefully
fantastic.
We can keep banking them, boys.
This is a block. This is the start of a block. So Adelaide, obviously not in the best form, but we know at their best, what they showed last year, they can take it.
But we do get the better of them at Marvel.
Yeah, we have in the past. We do. That's true. Yeah. How do you say it off the top?
I mean, I think it's sort of a danger game, isn't it? Because they haven't won one, so they're obviously a little bit under the pump.
They'll be breathing fire.
Yeah, I think they are, especially against us being arguably the best team in the competition in terms of output. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a – I think it's going to be a battle.
I think their midfield's a danger. Crouch, Laird, well, you got Sam Berry in there, I think, and Dawson.
Yeah, they rack
Dawson,
it up.
Like they got a strong midfield.
They know how to find the footy.
Yeah. It comes down to the question, can they stop Harry and Charlie? Because down back for me is where I see them at their weakest.
For sure.
Because up you know, in their forward line, they've got the likes of Walker and Rankin, and they've got people, you know, Rochelle. They can hurt you, these players.
Rankin's the one for me.
Yeah.
He's danger.
He's danger.
I just think
they can't hurt us. They can't hurt, like, we can hurt them a lot more than they can hurt us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think their forwards only get off if our midfield allow their midfield to get on top of us too much.
Yeah.
I think if they get a 17 clearance, I think they cause more damage than a Fremantle.
Yeah. However, what I would say to that.
But they wouldn't set up. They don't set up.
He's
correct.
In transition. I think we can kick 130 points against this team, if I'm being honest.
I'll be honest.
Like watching them against Melbourne, the opening game for Gather Round. They were poor in transition. Very, very poor. There was no effort there whatsoever. Pressure was, for the first three quarters, there was no pressure from Adelaide at all in transition.
No,
if we're a transition side and built on pressure, like you said before, I don't think they can match 80 tackles in a game.
But I look at it.
24 tackles inside 50 if we bring that, if I'm being honest.
Mm. I look at it with Adelaide. I think they're a team low in confidence. I think we actually need to come out and set a statement early, and I think we'll have the game closed.
Yeah.
I think the longer the game goes as a stalemate, or if we don't put them away, I really think that's when
they come in.
I think we need to put them away.
They showed against Melbourne late is that once their backs are against the wall, they do take the game on. They try to take the corridor. Rankin came into his own in that last quarter, and he looked like he was actually going to win it for him.
Who goes to him?
Saad, I think.
Joel?
Yeah, I reckon Saad does go to him, to be honest.
He's played that lockdown role this year a few times.
I mean, I could see Williams go to him as well. So
if Williams does play.
That's right.
Yeah, I think there's a number of players that could go to him.
Yeah.
Even McGovern could go to him, depending on, obviously, if they play a third tall.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we do roll a Weeder and a Kem. So, obviously, interesting matchups, nonetheless.
Yeah. So, Vossi's presser, Walsh trained well. Again, looks to be up for selection.
Said if he gets through training, the expectation is that he plays.
You see that? That's right. We've got no Fog for a week.
Yep.
Do you think they contest that or
they
not?
They will. I think they will.
Yeah.
He Chris didn't Townsend, QC, coming in to the tribunal. Yeah. I've taken you down before. I'll take
he
you down again.
Didn't hit the head.
Sorry?
He didn't hit the head.
What did he hit? Shoulder?
For me, he hit upper chest.
Okay.
Like sternum.
And it looked like a football act. He looked like he was spoiling.
I think he definitely was spoiling. Yeah. And his eyes were on the footy probably until the last second. Yeah. And slow-mo, obviously. Makes it look a little bit worse than it actually is.
It wasn't like a Peter Wright.
No, nowhere near it. Yeah.
Jason Badger asking, why won't Zach play? Apparently there's some hammy tightness there that's unconfirmed. So, and there might be some scans.
Literally after that act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said that, but Vossi seemed to have waved it off in the presser. So I don't know. That's what I think we're hearing that in the wider community post game. Just listen out, stay tuned.
Gabriel Brini in the chat. Joe, what is that top? Set it off the top, Gab. So I know you might just be waking up in England. It's my non-nor's top, Gab.
Rewind it.
Anyway.
Yeah, watch the app.
That's my partner. That's my fiance. That's her contribution to the live chat this week. Where was I? That's thrown me. What was I saying? Zach Williams, he may or may not play. If he doesn't, we've got cover with Sin Cotter anyway, so I think he comes
Collins,
straight in. Elijah.
Elijah.
That's a hip. Yep.
Hip. So he's obviously, he's out.
Yeah, scans. So we've got a few. He's gone.
Is Cunningham going to be ready?
I don't know. No, he's not.
I don't think
six
so.
6 weeks, didn't it?
No. Yeah. Four or 6 weeks? I think it's two to three.
I heard two to three, I'm pretty sure.
5 to 6 was Martin.
Oh, Martin was 5 to 6.
Motts is another 2 to 3.
Yeah.
So those three aren't available for the selection. Walsh obviously comes in. Probably for Elijah, probably does play off the half forward if that's the case for the first game. Pinch hitting in the middle. I don't really see any other changes. I think Owies needs to play, actually.
Yeah,
you know what? That's one that I definitely need to discuss. Were you surprised to see him as a sub?
I was. Yeah, I was.
Kick three the week
shocked.
Before.
Yeah.
What is he not doing? That, like, this is what I was trying to work out. What's he not doing to hold a spot?
I don't know.
He tackles, he scores. Like, he puts himself about. Yeah, I was shocked. He comes in this week. He has to.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, maybe they were going for the more running power with the Fantasia because Fantasia was sub last week against North. So that's obviously a possibility.
But ball use,
but
Fantasia.
But I think always, yeah, that too. That too.
He's better with ball in hand.
That too. And maybe because they probably thought we weren't going to get enough scoring opportunities. They probably thought put a Fantasia in because when they know in terms of his connection, he's going to be able to help in that regard.
He's a freak, really good.
I think he needs to get more involved in that regard. I think he's probably averaging probably around 8 touches, probably a game. If he can get up to 14, 15,
and he doesn't tackle. So, like, he doesn't really tackle like a Fogarty or an Owies.
Nah.
So he does need to.
Or hit the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Which is crazy compared to his numbers, obviously.
What about previous seasons? Considering Fogarty and Elijah might be missing this week, if Walsh will come in as one of those replacements, Ashton Moyer, is this the game?
Could well be.
Is he Vic Boy? Is it SA boy?
Oh, SA boy. Against Adelaide. You know how that's going.
It's home team.
Yeah, against his home team.
Home nation.
Boy, would you?
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know how he's going in the VFL, but it could be a game. It's a debut. Half forward. Plays that role. The other option is you bring Pitto in, and this is the game to trial it. Against Riley O'Brien and a midfield that can win the footy.
Yeah, Fogg's pressure is very hard to replace. Say that much.
Oh, it is 100%. It is.
Fog's pressure is very hard.
Yeah,
I don't think. I don't think.
Especially without Motlop and Martin.
I agree.
Especially without Motlop and Martin.
Yeah. That's where I find. That's where I find the issue.
It will be interesting at selection.
I hope we do bring it. I'd love to see what our tackling numbers are in comparison. That'd be one thing
next week.
You. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Without Fog,
I'll tell you something. If we put up 70 tackles again, I will back in this side to do it every week at this point. I really do. But you're right. Without Fogarty,
he's a big contributor.
Could be a little bit of a drop off in pressure. That will be interesting to see. Hopefully he plays. Hopefully we get him off at the tribunal and hopefully he plays.
Yeah, 3 tackles.
Sorry, but it's more so the pressure he applies to, though, right? Mm. Like the pressure acts and all that on a weekly basis. So
23.
Yeah, there you go.
1%ers.
Yeah, that's huge.
Or pressure acts, sorry.
That's massive.
See, he's one that doesn't hit the scoreboard. but he's got that layer of pressure that Fantasia's not showing at the
moment. Well, it's part
I love Fantasia though, to be honest. I really do. I think forward to center, he could be our best ball user.
I think his experience is massive.
Correct. I think he just needs to get games on the board.
Yeah. Get some games under his belt. All right. So selection will be interesting. Predictions, margin?
Nah, Carlton by 28.
Yeah, I was going to say in the 20s. I reckon Carlton by 25. Yeah.
I don't know this one.
I just don't know. I mean, we did put North away. I just don't know. I'm still not convinced in terms of putting a side away.
I don't think Adelaide are as bad as
I don't think Adelaide are as bad as North.
Nah, yeah. I definitely don't. But I think form is an important thing. And so is confidence.
Yeah.
They lack both of them.
That last 10 minutes of the Melbourne game, I think they would have got a lot of confidence from.
Yeah, like, but we're a side that don't allow you.
But I'm saying to take into this game. They started finding that
the rhythm.
Rhythm that they had last year going forward, that attacking profile where they could just score quickly. Because they did. They put
three or four
goals on the board very quickly to get back into that game.
If it was in Adelaide, I'd be worried. Not worried, sure. But I'd be a little bit more
more hesitant.
More hesitant.
I still think we win it by maybe 3 goals. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. It's got that feel about it.
In terms of inclusions, do you think there's any other player that could come in just to shake it up a little bit? Or not really?
No, not with Martin and Motlop are the next two that I want to see, but they're weeks away. So I don't think there's a player that can really, other than Pitto, for the reasons that have been stated in terms of the clearance work and the ruck work. And I think against Riley O'Brien, who's not athletic, I think bringing in a bigger bodied ruckman and letting TDK go forward a little bit more and see how that dynamic works, this is probably the game for it.
Do you think that also help in terms of our actual clearances as well? Because that'll free up Kennedy when TDK does go play forward as that third tall for Kennedy to go in as well.
Definitely. It's not even that. It's what Pitto does at the stoppage. He puts blocks on. He throws his body around, which TDK unfortunately doesn't do. He's not that type of ruckman. He's an athletic ruckman. He gets the tap and he's not really there to block for passing, for running lanes and passing lanes and put a block on or put a shepherd on or go in for the second or third effort. That's Pitto. Pitto was doing that last year. And I think with a ruckman like Riley O'Brien who does that, he could really expose our midfield if we're not getting first use from TDK. So for me, if you're asking about a player that can come in and have an impact, I think Pitto's ready to have a run this year. I just think he is. I think this is the game for it. Because then week after, think about this, he's got Kieran Briggs.
Yeah.
Who's another big-bodied ruckman that throws his weight around. We're going to need someone with a bit of strength in there. So I think if you're looking at the next block of games, Adelaide into Riley O'Brien into Kieran Briggs, then you've got Reece Stanley, who whatever. But then Melbourne, Max Gorn, and Collingwood, you've got Darcy Cameron, who can throw his weight around.
I think Pitto, this next block of games, and the reason why I brought up the question, because we did speak obviously a little bit about it pre-show, you and I, Joe. I think these next few games is the time where Pitto does come in.
Has to.
I think they will sort of give him another conditioning block in the VFL for these run of games.
So you're saying not this week?
No, I'm saying they were giving him.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
for
probably.
For sure.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope we see him in Walsh this week. I think that'll make a massive difference to our clearance game. And then what will be interesting is to see if we can still score like we are in transition. Because if we somehow, if those two come in and unlock the clearance game and we're still scoring in transition.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Cancel the season. We've won it. All right. Let's finish this off. This is where last week we got a little bit silly.
Yeah, it got weird.
Keep calm. Count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10.
Not happy, Jen!
All right. Last week was an eventful not happy, Dan.
It's almost turning into not happy boys.
Yeah, not happy everyone.
we all contribute now. Go. Kick it off.
This one here. It's not, I'm going to start with saying it's probably actually a bit of me as well in this one, but.
Accountability.
Yeah, trying to grow as a person. Yeah, trying to grow. So, Bunnings. Bunnings Warehouse.
Why pay more?
Lowest prices.
No.
Adjust the beginning.
Just the beginning, yeah, correct.
Not anymore? No.
Yeah. But you sold me something with no parts.
Huh?
Yeah.
What was it?
All right. The ring.
The what?
What, Lauren's wedding?
No. Can't get there.
The what?
You know the ring, the doorbell?
Yeah.
Ring?
The ringer.
The ring.
Yeah.
The doorbell ringer.
No, not a doorbell. Like the camera one.
Yeah.
It's called a ring. It's called
ring. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ring.
Yeah, yeah. I understand.
Anyway.
Yeah. The camera.
Yeah.
The camera.
Yeah. Lauren bought it. I spoke to Jules last night. A few questions regarding this thing.
Have you got one?
He's got one. He put one up. Okay. All right. Went to go today. Realized there was two parts missing. So my thing.
What part?
Well, crucial. Couldn't put it on the door.
Wait, what are you missing?
Jules, they sold it. They sold it with two missing parts. Worst part was on the box, it goes missing parts. Like it actually said missing parts.
Sorry. Okay, so hold on, hold on.
But why are you selling? Oh, no, you're going to say it's me.
No. Hold on. I'm going to ask you a question. So the parts to hang it up weren't on there. Okay. What other parts were missing? Was that it? Was that it?
Do you the parts come with it? That's part
of it. No.
Well, I got that's the brand that you're talking about, Ring.
Yeah, but you get the parts. You get the whole assembly thing.
I didn't get that brand. I got another brand.
Were there other parts that were missing, or was it just the parts to hang it up?
No, there was two parts. So if you had four parts, for example, to hang it up, two were missing, two were there.
Okay, and that was it?
Yeah.
But the two that were there.
So what I'll say is this. That is,
I didn't get it cheaper.
It's in saleable condition. You should have got it cheaper.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So what am I pissed off about today?
So money. So,
and time. Sheets. Had to go back. Sheets. Had to go back, get parts.
Yeah. Well.
So in terms of the missing, usually they're there.
Yeah.
Usually they're in the thing. They just said, missing products.
Missing parts.
And I sold it at full price.
Full price.
And they didn't tell you what parts were
correct.
Missing. Okay. Then that's on them.
Am I got a right to be pissed off?
Yeah.
Fair. Yes?
Yeah.
I'm not fucking happy. That's my one for today.
So what did you get?
Huh?
What'd you get?
I have to go back.
Yeah, what'd you get though?
What does that mean?
You got the parts.
Yeah, I still got the parts. Put it up. Yeah.
You went back to get the parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What, and nothing else?
I got more things, but it's not related to the ring.
Yeah, like, but did they give you anything? Like,
well, I was in like compensation. Like, yeah. Nah.
Nothing. Did you tell them?
Sorry, sir. That I didn't go, Lauren went.
Luck. Yeah, because
you
would have burned the place down.
53.
You would have burned the place down. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair this week.
Good one?
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah. Bunnings usually pretty good.
I know. That's why I was shocked. I really, really like them.
Yeah.
Them, but.
Anything from you?
I'm not happy.
Nah.
Enough for me. Yeah, wait, no, you got one?
I don't think I've got
it. To be honest, you two aren't really angry people.
No.
Oh.
Oh, I've got the propensity.
Is that a word?
To blow up. I do. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like as if whenever we call each other, we're blowing up.
Yeah, me and you are.
True.
Me and you.
At the moment, Jules is having spot fights with everyone.
No, this isn't when Jules calls me, it's not like going each other.
Nah,
it's other about things. Something else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Society. Is that right?
Nah, it could be about anything.
Society, but.
No, just the way things are run.
What's your pet peeve this week, Jules?
Nah, nothing.
Jules,
don't know if I can mention it on the pod.
Just the way things are run at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. You've had a few of those conversations at the footy this year.
This is another.
Joe stopped us at the footy.
I actually stopped you in the Richmond game because you're talking for 20 minutes.
20 minutes the whole third quarter.
And the game's in the balance.
Okay, are you two all right?
We're calm. We just know we're going to win.
I'm trying to think if I've got anything. I don't think I've got anything.
It's not your segment, so move on.
Yeah, but this segment's evolving into it's not happy Dan, and Dan sets it up for the last 5-10 minutes to just go.
Oh, to go wild. Yeah.
To go all out.
See, this is where, if Melissa's watching, this is where I come into my own.
Yeah.
The rest of them all calculated.
But she doesn't last.
No, correct. She only watched the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. Just to build her endurance.
We should put it to the live chat before we start.
She had a topic.
To say, if you want something for us to go about.
Oh, yeah.
Because as a group, so we'll do this. Let's test it for 5 minutes.
This is very good.
In the live chat, if you've got a topic you want us to talk about, right, shoot it through now. Because as a group, the three of us, when we get together, any topic that comes up, we've got an opinion. It's true.
Yeah,
and a strong opinion.
Yeah. Very strong.
And it's not based on fact most of the time. It's not.
Zero.
We normally have to go back later, look at if we're right, and then revisit the topic.
So we're going to apologize.
Never.
If you've got a topic, send it through now. Otherwise, we're going to finish the show off. Oliver Lynch asked, when are you guest hosting, Dan?
Oh.
That's not his call.
No, why?
It's not his call.
Why?
I like that topic.
It's my call.
You know what? Get a poll up. How many people want to see me guest host for next episode?
It's my call.
No, it's not.
Yes,
Jules, do you want to see me?
I can run a poll.
Yep, run a poll.
Michael.
Give the people what they want.
It is Michael.
You're
you
ruining
the progression. You don't have the Twitter account to run the poll.
I'll just run it on Facebook or Instagram.
You're ruining the progression of this podcast.
I am. Yeah. I can tell you right now, I'm ensuring the progress of this podcast ensures.
Look, they want to see one episode. Let me have a crack.
Give them a chance.
It's like having a debutante.
It's got to be.
You just go, oh, nah, sorry.
Hmm.
It's got to be the right week.
Oh, what, bye week?
Yeah.
Nah, shit.
It's a nothing week. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's got to be a nothing week.
Hey, end of season. Off season. Yeah,
just some
nothing. No, I want it. Give me my time.
There's a few that are asking about footy-related stuff, if you want to go off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
what Channel 7 commentary or Freo fans losing it over the free kick? So you guys decide.
Nah, Freo fans.
What? In terms of being...
we kind of spoke about that when we said...
So what, we're going to go Channel 7 commentary?
What do you actually think of the Channel 7
commentary?
You're
hating commentary? It?
I don't like... to be honest...
I watch a lot of... We watch a lot of sport.
I watch
overseas,
it on Fox Footy.
Like Premier League, NBA,
yeah.
NFL.
Mm.
I could tell you something. The quality of AFL commentary is garbage compared to that.
Yeah, it's very poor.
It's garbage.
I've got a reason why.
I'm specifically...
Radio's actually not bad.
Radio's good. No. Channel 7 at the moment are not... firing at all.
Yeah.
Fox Footy, really good.
Fox Footy's one that I watch.
Matt Hill.
Yeah,
Matt Hill,
great.
Yeah,
racing commentator. Unbelievable.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. I don't watch it on Channel 7, so I can't really comment.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I watched Channel 7, 9,
in general.
10, probably, whatever.
I don't have a cable in my TV.
There you go.
I unplugged that in 2020 when someone was on the TV every day telling us how many fucking cases. I did. I haven't had a TV cable in my house since day 70 something of that lockdown.
Nah, he just watches YouTube golf for 8 hours.
I do. Hey, you watched it with me the other day.
Yeah, it's unreal.
You like it.
The most watched thing for me is YouTube.
I know. Yeah, I bought a
YouTuber.
I watch that much YouTube. I bought a YouTube premium account.
No way.
Yeah, $17 a month. You know what? Best thing I ever did. No ads ever again. I'm never going back. I'm paying $17 a month for the rest of my life for YouTube. It's the best. It is the best.
It's actually unbelievable.
Well, how's this? I'll top you. I use my client, who's a 12-year-old, their KO account. Yep. And he knows. He knows. End the show on that. Bang.
Oh, wowee.
Generally taking advantage
of a kid.
He goes to me. Can I tell you something funny?
Doesn't know any better.
Listen to this, but listen to this. This is funny. So, what did we watch on there? There was a game last week. Can't remember. Well, there's something on KO last week. And he goes to me, "Hey, Dan, are you on my KO?" I was. Out. I go, no, I'm not, man. Something must be wrong with it.
Kicked him out. That's fucked.
It's fine watching.
Let's wrap this up. Thank you, everyone that joined us tonight in the live chat. If you haven't, like and subscribe to Blue Abroad. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that 5 stars. Hit that follow button on the ABB Spotify page or Apple Podcast page. Boys, until next week.
Kind of bagger.
Oh, thumb on the bagger.